Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Ransom Notes. Frank McKay here with the newly moved in to, and we've been talking about it for weeks, but the big move happened, and probably Catherine Ransom felt like one day it was so far away, and then maybe it got closer and closer, but now it is official. She is there. She is the author of Ransom Notes, Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor, and, of course, our host each and every week, Catherine Ransom. How are you?
I'm just fine, thank you, Frank. It's a beautiful day here in Illinois, almost 70. No breeze. I mean, no strong wind, and so it's a pleasant April day.
And the day The day after Easter. Now I know people are going to be hearing this, you know, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever. But you and I are speaking on the Monday after Easter, which is a beautiful holiday, and to us, it's like a second Christmas.
I want to know if you found any Easter bunnies, or if you, or did they find you, or did you have to dig up the eggs or paint them or color them for the grandkids, or what did you do for fun?
Well, we don't have grandkids. We were talking about this yesterday. Pretty soon, when people say, do you have children, I'm going to say, no, only adults, because my daughter will be 18 in a couple of days, but we went to my sister's house, and yes, we all got Easter bunnies or whatever, but not a lot of kids there. It's young people, and watching them mature, and my sister, by the way, this is the first time we spent time with her. She has ALS, and she's a very strong woman of faith, and this was a big day for her and us. And we thought it was going to be very depressing. It was joyous, and it was a real Christian Easter, as it is every year. How about you? It's a different house, different home. How was your Easter?
Well, it was a lovely day. I still at the same church, and I did attend the 8 o'clock service in person. They added an extra service because of social distancing and yet more people wanting to come so often on Easter. I know we used to talk about CE Christians. Christmas and Easter were the only times you saw them.
Right.
But you do have more people who show up for special recognition days. And we had a nice group, and another group was coming in the church as we were leaving. And there were three services where we were. And then we came back to our new place, which is a senior living, independent living area at this time, and joined many others for Easter lunch, dinner in the dining room at noon, which was quite lovely.
Yeah.
And then we really didn't do a lot the rest of the day, except still doing some unpacking, because, as you know, we moved.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's been on our little minds for a while. And so it was, Thursday was a great day when we moved.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned CE Christians. We have an expression up here called Cape Catholics or Cape Christians. And that's Christmas, Ash Wednesday, Palm Sunday, and Easter. Those are the four.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the four. I don't know if that's if you've ever heard that before, but Cape Catholics.
No,
That's folks who show up to service. And again, I'm not, you know, certainly, you know, people have different habits or whatever, but and I'm not criticizing, but
No.
We call them Cape Catholics. It's Christmas, Ash Wednesday, Palm Sunday, and Easter. Have you ever heard that expression?
No, that's a new one. But, you know, we're supposed to continue to learn new things, so that's wonderful.
Right.
Every day you're supposed to learn one new thing, and I hadn't learned anything new yet today, so you got me off the hook. We really did have, however, a good move. We hired a professional moving company, and we knew that they were coming about 8 o'clock in the morning. And it's amazing what you have to do before they get there. But they came in, and Five Guys were so efficient and moved us and into our new location, and we're gone by roughly 1:30. So they moved everything across town from between 8 o'clock in the morning, roughly, till 1:30. And that takes real organization, especially when you think they got to the new place where everything had to come up an elevator to the third floor. That's not easy to do when you're moving large pieces of stuff. But the even more fun thing, the day before, have you ever tried to move a baby grand piano?
I've moved pianos, and we ultimately gave up, and this is even as a young man, we ultimately gave up and hired a piano mover. And there's a reason there's a profession called piano moving. It is very difficult. Don't tell me you moved the grand piano.
Well, we gave our grand piano to the independent center to where we're moving, Concordia Village, and they paid for transporting the piano and for tuning it, because obviously it was not going to fit into our new apartment. But that was an incredible experience to watch four men move the piano. One of the things that, of course, they had to do was take the legs off, but watching them wrap it carefully with the bubble wrap, like, I don't know exactly what it was, but it looked like bubble wrap. And they must have made 10 rounds around that piano, the base of the large part of where the strings are of the piano, making sure that everything was protected. And then they carefully took the legs off, and that was an experience. And they fastened it onto the cart that they were using. They did it with care, because it is a very difficult thing to do. And they really did equally careful with our things. But have you ever thought about how they put things on the truck and in what order? Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, because I've done a lot of moving, just like you did as a kid. So I was fascinated by it. But there's a science to it.
Yeah, you know what they put on last?
Don't tell me the grand piano.
No, because the grand piano went the day before.
Oh, I got you.
They got it out of the way. They put the rugs on the floor last, because last in, first out.
Ah, right.
And just think of the planning. And, you know, you got to have people who know what they were doing. I probably would have put the rugs in first if I'd been loading a truck. Get them out of the way. They're soft. Put them on the floor of the truck or the van. And I would have had it all mixed up. And then you would have moved in all the furniture, and then you'd have to move it again to put the rugs down. That shows why you need to have training, and you need to be prepared, and you need to have people know what they're doing. And it reminded me that someday we're going to make another move, and that's going to be to heaven.
Yeah.
And we have to prepare, but contrary to our movers, we knew they were going to be there between 8 and 8:30 on April Fool's Day to move the two fools into the new house. They were there at that time. But what do the scriptures tell us about when the Lord is coming back to pick us up? We don't know when.
Yeah.
The day and the hour are unknown. So you have to be prepared. Can you imagine being prepared all the time to suddenly know that the movers were backing up to your house and were going to take everything out? It would be crazy.
Yeah.
But in our lives, you got to be ready every single day. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. It's amazing. It's a great parallel that you drew there. I never know where you're going with it, but yeah, you're right. We don't know. We don't know the time and day of our death here on earth, and hopefully our ascent to the afterworld where we meet the Lord. And we just don't know. You got to think, it's like the biggest day of our lives. The biggest moment in our wonderful lives, hopefully wonderful lives. And we have no idea when it's going to happen. We know when birthdays happen. We know when holidays happen. We know when all of these different situations happen. We don't know when we're going to die, unless we're on death row, you know, like a prisoner, or, you know, and we've been convicted to death. But other than that, we don't know this biggest moment, you know, of our lives.
And when sometimes we do know that when someone is dying, and you know, and they're going to, they're about ready to breathe their last breath, you know they're dying, but that isn't the final move, you know, because, you know, ultimately we hope to go to heaven. And they say that will come in a twinkling of an eye. And think how fast you twinkle your eye. He's coming pretty quickly when he comes. But it was also interesting, as I went back the next day, because we still have access to our original home for a few more days before the new people take over. And I took some shots of the empty rooms, basically, just, you know, for memory's sake. But as I'm taking those shots, I realized that in the front room, the living room, the main entertainment area, we had left a couch and one chair. And as I go into that room, and here's this single chair sort of sitting in the middle of the room, sometimes we hope that when the Lord comes, that we don't have to leave a single member of the family behind. Yeah. Because it really looks really empty when something is sort of left in the behind. And you really can make lots of connections between this move and the day that the Lord finally returns to take his people home. But anyway, that's enough about Easter. Yeah. I got another question for you.
Yes.
Totally and completely different subject. Frank, I'm sorry. You know me, I switch gears.
That's okay.
Have you ever visited anybody in prison?
Yes, many, many times.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So my question is, because, oh, in the last year and a half or so, I've been trying to visit with a friend who, not a real close friend, but someone that was in the class that I taught on Sunday morning. We don't teach anymore on Sunday morning because you can't teach, you know, you can't get together. But And he was a gentleman that had visited our class a number of times, and then I'm guessing he got into trouble. And so I've sort of been a visitor. And my brain always worries about, what should I talk about when I go to visit it? We visit on closed circuit TV. I have 25 minutes. The conversation can go no longer than 25 minutes, and then it's shut off because it's all controlled by the jailer, and that's fine. I mean, you know, those are the rules, and you have to make a reservation online ahead of time. But I always go wondering, what should I be talking about? What did you talk about when you would go see somebody? And you don't have to tell me who you saw.
Yeah.
But...
Well, it's I visit a lot of folks that I've met through, like, the political system.
And okay.
Often, you know, no one who I wouldn't visit somebody who's committed a violent act. And it's only all the people that I've visited, and I'd have to sit and count them, to be honest with you. It's always been something silly that they've done or stupid. You know, they lent themselves money from a campaign account, and they paid themselves back in interest, and, you know, something like silly like that. Or, you know, more serious, a gentleman who bribed somebody, gave somebody $10,000 and whatever. But I usually, and by the way, I don't usually know these people that well. I don't know them that well. But I figure that is the low point in their lives. And, some people I do know fairly well, and I'll go and I'll visit. And I guess what I say to them depends on what I've heard about them. For example, I went to visit this one man, and I really wasn't a big fan of his. And I didn't think he was a wonderful guy, but I heard that he was suicidal, and he had a young boy. Now the boy's, you know, in his early 20s, but at the time his boy was 10, I believe, and he had a wife, and he left them in complete financial ruin. So my wife and I had sent some food over to them after we heard this, and we sent a little guitar for the boy and things like that. But I went to visit him when I heard he was suicidal, and I kind of gave him tough love. You know, he's got to get his head together. He's got a boy there, and he has a wife there that need, you know. And I wasn't mean, but I was, you know, hey, you got to get your, you know, keep your act together. You can't go killing yourself. And you know, I didn't get into big long thing. By the way, I've also had correction officers ask me if I was a clergyman. And I laughed and I said, why? And they said, well, because we've seen you here visiting a couple different prisoners. And that's usually the case. You know, none of them are family members. I thought that was pretty funny, you know, and pretty interesting. Anyway, I didn't mean to go off on that. But I guess the answer to your question is it depends on what they've done is what I say to them.
Well, and I really have never visited anyone, I don't believe, other than this one gentleman. And I do have his power of attorney, and I did help get his taxes sent off a year ago. And so I've tried to be, because he really doesn't have any family on the outside that's in the area to help him. I don't think he did anything violent. I think odds are he did do something that was not legal, but I don't think he's not violent. I think one of the things that's been helpful with my friend is he really does believe in the Lord. And I think he has tried to share some of that with younger prisoners. He's a middle-aged gentleman, and I think he's tried to share that. So in turn, I've used our 30 minutes or 25 minutes as a way to partially to help encourage him to keep on sharing the word, just as Paul did in prison. He talked to the prisoners, and it to give my friend a purpose for being there, in addition to serving his time. And we're still waiting on his court case to come up, and it's been over a year. And then I sometimes try to share with him a few things that are happening. Maybe he knows a few people that I know, and I'll share some, you know, some things in their life. And then I've been trying to help him. Among other things, he needs some funds, and we're trying to work out some of the government help during the pandemic to see if we can't make sure that all is filed correctly, because it's the money is to go to people, including people legally who are in prison. And that's hard to do when you're on the inside, and it's hard enough for me to try and help him on the outside. Yeah. But that's one of the things I've done. But I think then the other thing is the reverse. I've tried to be a listening ear, because I got to thinking, part of the time he has some severe health problems, including he needs dialysis 3 times a week. And so he sometimes is not with other people. And so I try to make it a time of conversation, and let him do some talking, because, you know, he gets lonely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can tell right now that we are in a new house and we're moving in, because the person to help set up our TVs is, our phones or something is here, and they had to get to the switch box. So if you heard a little noise, I apologize for that.
I didn't hear. You know, it's that might have been loud on your side, but we didn't hear it. I don't think listeners heard it, or I heard it.
But anyway, you know, and then I just always keep remembering what Paul wrote, those marvelous letters while he was in prison. And of course he had, you know, the government thought he had done things that were improper, and so we would say he was perfectly fine. But anyway, he's spending time, and that must have been discouraging, and I don't think they took care of prisoners in those days as well as perhaps we do today, because I know in one of the letters he asked somebody to bring him a warm cloak, but my friend has needed a little help financially. to get some clothes that he needed to keep. When he first got there, all he had were sort of rubber shower shoes. They took away his regular shoes, and they were open, and it was winter. And he needed to buy some tennis shoes that only, they had to be the special kind that the prison would allow. And so we had to find some money to help him so his feet wouldn't freeze. And, you know, I think Christians have to help their sisters and brothers, even when sometimes they're not perfect, because I'm not perfect either.
Yeah.
And we sometimes forget that, don't we? But anyway, I've got another question for you. I am full of questions today.
Yeah.
What is a banana?
Well, it would be the, I'm going to stay away from the obvious, right? Because it's, it is, it would be too easy to just say it's the yellow fruit that starts out green and when it gets ripe, it turns yellow, and then sometimes it turns black. And a fruit would be too easy an answer. We used to have banana seats on our bicycles, but I don't think you're going there. Banana. Am I even close?
Well, we are going to talk about the fruit.
Okay.
A fruit. But the other day I was reading, Frank. It was something that I got in mid-March, something that came across my desk. The banana plant is not a fruit. It is not a vegetable. It is identified as an herb.
Wow. Oh, I didn't know that.
You got to get this picture in your head, Frank. That's the big plant. Is an herb. Now, it produces something that we eat, but it's not really a fruit. They consider it a vegetable.
Wow.
So we're eating from an herb plant. We're eating a vegetable. Now, that's also, I didn't think about this in the banana plant. This one plant produces one flower. It produces one flower, and that one flower produces not one banana, but a whole bunch of bananas. And do you know roughly how many bananas can be on one fruit from the result of one flower?
No. What's
up to 400 bananas.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I would never thought. You mean in one season?
Well, the flower blooms, the bunch starts, and there can be up to 400 bananas on that bunch. And then the plant gave up its life for that.
Wow.
That particular plant then is dead, deceased. It did what it needed to do. It had the help from the farmer who trimmed off the bad leaves and stuff, who came and chopped off the banana flower plant with the up to 400 yellow things hanging on to it. And then that plant dies, but it doesn't totally die. It sent its roots down, and next season or later, up comes another stalk, another herb, produces another plant.
400.
Which is really... Yeah. Producing vegetables.
Yeah.
And what is, it just seems to me that it is an incredible plant that the Lord created.
You're not
but
kidding.
That's exactly what he wants you and me to do.
Wow.
He tells us that we are, as Christians, to go out and seek and find others and produce, quote, flowers.
Wow.
Who are really plants of the Lord. And we may only, in our lifetime, really reach out to one. But when you think that that one plant had 400, up to 400, some of us may touch the lives. Well, on your radio station, you may be leading people to Christ for many yellow bananas, so to speak, if we make the analogy. You have to encourage. We sometimes need to be trimmed because sometimes we say things that aren't right or we do something as an example in our life. And so we have to have people, including the Lord, chop off our bad parts so that we really produce well. And then we don't call them herbs and we don't call them vegetables. We call them human beings and Christians and loved ones. But it's sort of, and if you remember, I think a week ago we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, then we have to let that be in our life of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all of those things.
Wow.
So we should be a big bunch.
Wow. I just from the question, what is a banana? I always try to anticipate where you're going with something, and I'm almost never right. It's amazing that that's what you got out of a banana plant, which is just wonderful. And
I need to take that topic and write my next ransom note
that
topic. And I would encourage your listeners to know that they are welcome to email me at karansom@aol.com. And once we get my system back working from the move, I'll be happy to send them copies of my weekly ransom notes.
Yeah, and let's remind folks that those emails will not be used for anything else. I know people get crazy with their emails. This is just for ransom notes. You're not going to get anything from me, and you're not going to get things inviting you for this or MasterCard or anything, you know, no fast food restaurants. It's just simply ransom notes. So please.
Just the plain old Kathy is sending out the thing that she wrote that week, and I didn't get one last week because on Easter Sunday because I couldn't get my computer up and working after the move. But we hope to be back online by next week.
That just means you have more to say next week. There's more to share next week, which is wonderful.
Wonderful. Anyway, this has been a good conversation, but I've got one more funny fact for you.
Yes.
Do you know that in the United States, we spend more on dog food than we do as a whole country? We spend more on dog food than we do contributing things to the church and the Lord's work.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that funny?
That's funny or disturbing. And listen, we love our dogs, no question about it, but
You don't want them to starve.
No.
But
definitely not. But we're neglecting a big part of life that helps so many people, and we've got to change some of these things, Catherine, as we advance in society. We've got to make sure we don't leave the church and the Lord behind. And sometimes I feel like we are.
Well, and I was reminded of a statement that I learned a long, long, long time ago when I was young. It's not how much you give to God, but it's how much of God's money you're going to keep, because he really owns everything.
Right.
I'm just using it, and I need to return it to him.
Right.
And we sometimes forget why we're giving. We're not giving for recognition. We're not giving because it's required. We're giving because we love. We're returning our talents as well as our dollars or shekels or whatever kind of money we might
rupees.
Have.
Right.
Yeah, or whatever. We do it because he loves us and we love him. And maybe that's a good way to think about as we sort of end the big Easter weekend.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you so much for sharing these thoughts. And everyone, please send a little note. We will not misuse. We assure you we will not misuse your email. You will only get ransom notes. And it's free of charge. Nobody's going to ask you for any money. And please, Catherine, one more time for the email address.
KARANSOM, RANSOM, @AOL.com.
And let me remind everyone that you could listen to us on 106 different outlets, or maybe more by now, who knows. But whatever outlet you're listening to us on now is fine. And for those who used to use radio.com, you could still use the same outlet, but it has changed its name. And I should know what it is. I know we get a lot of listeners there. But the name of radio.com is now called, oh my gosh, bear with me, Catherine, as we're closing. Radio.com is Odyssey.com. And so anyone listening to what was listening to radio.com, you could listen to radio.net, you could listen to iHeartRadio, any number of things. But if you want to continue listening on radio.com, it's now called Odyssey. And you know that most likely because you're just tuned in there. No difference, same company. They just changed their name. Frank McKay signing off. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
A-U-D-I-T?
Odyssey is A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey.com. Anyway, to everyone out there, Catherine Ransom and me, Frank McKay, her co-pilot, saying goodbye to everyone. Happy Easter, and we hope you had a blessed Easter. And get the book, Ransom Notes, Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor. And listen every week to our show here, Ransom Notes. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on Ransom Notes.